on this occasion, he's in the boat with them. Y'all remember there's another occasion he sent them out on the sea. And amen, he himself didn't get in the boat. He went up on the mountain and began to pray. But in the midnight hour, that storm got to raging again. And amen, Jesus came walking to them where they were. Amen. You say, what does that mean? That means he sees both sides of the storm and he can walk right through the middle of it. And if that's the case, then we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Amen. Mark chapter number 4. Let's stand together. We'll read our verses again. And we got carried away. We got carried away this morning. I like it when it gets like that. And I know it's rare for me to finish a whole message and when we start out, but I'm just one of them preachers. I study and I pray and I study and I meditate. And then when I get up here, I just try to find where God wants us to get to. And I'm not interested in being a sermonizer. I'm just interested in getting God's people some truth to hang on to. And if we don't make it past one point, that's fine. I've learned that's fine. Some days, Jeremy, it frustrates me. I think, Lord, I need to finish a whole message. And people come to hear a message. But you know what I've learned? A message can be contained to just a verse. And I trust you don't take that for granted and that you come in seeking, every time you come in seeking, what does God want me to hear tonight? What does God want for me in this service? And I believe if we'll come looking for that and come in that kind of a mindset, God will make sure we get exactly what we need. Amen. Amen. So let's read our verses again. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35 through 41. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey? And I told you this morning, I was preaching on and preached on this morning, I'm preaching again, on the thought sailing with Jesus through the stormy seas of life. But I told you this morning, before I started on that one, was going to preach on what manner of man is this tonight. And just so you don't feel shortchanged, I took the second message, and God let me this afternoon jam them together, so you're going to get both of them tonight, all right? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you this evening. Help us now as we try to preach. Give us clarity of thought, unction and power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, sailing with Jesus through the stormy seas of life. We understand, as we said this morning, in the context of Mark chapter 4 and the verses we've read as we've been preaching through the gospel according to Mark, we're in one long day in the life of the Lord Jesus. So my opinion, through my study, this day actually began about halfway through, maybe two-thirds of the way through, beginning in Mark chapter number 3. And so the Lord has been teaching. He's been teaching by the seaside, specifically the seaside of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was a very important region to the land of Israel and the surrounding area. A lot of trade and commerce took place around the Sea of Galilee. Of course, it sustained and fed an entire nation of people there in the Mediterranean Sea. Much fish was brought out of this Sea of Galilee and fed these countryside cities that were scattered around and abroad. The Sea of Galilee was 7 miles wide at its widest point, 11 miles long it was, fed from the north end of the sea or the lake from the Jordan River that would come down from Mount Hermon. It would flow into what is known as the Sea of Galilee. Of course, this, the Jordan River, it would flow again out of the south end and make its way into the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee, we understand there are several men in the life of the Lord Jesus who had their trade as being fishermen that fished the Sea of Galilee and grew up, no doubt, in boats and ships and fishing and all that is involved in that sort of a trade. Christ himself ministered often around the seaside of the Sea of Galilee. And Mark chapter number 4 and in verse number 1, he began to teach by the seaside. Thereby, on the Sea of Galilee, he gave the parable of the sower, and all the parables we covered in Mark chapter number 4, all the lessons on receiving the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, having your faith grown by the Word of God, being what you ought to be, amen, as a child of God by the ministry of the Word of God. Christ gave parables that no doubt related to that message and matter of salvation and how a man receives the gospel of Christ. Many of those parables are of a practical nature that deal with us living our lives in the kingdom of God. And so Christ had given much truth throughout the course of that day. The multitudes had heard it. And in particular, these closest to the Lord have had a front row seat at the feet of Christ hearing the Word of God. Now the day has come to a close. We're now this same day, the Bible said in verse 35, when the even was come, nighttime is settling in, the sun is beginning to set, the birds are beginning to flee to their nests, and there is a cool that is setting in upon the eventide. And now Christ said, it's time to depart from here. We're going to the other side to no doubt bring the message of the kingdom and the message of the gospel and the ministry and the miracles and all that was involved in Christ's life. He's willing now to carry that to another place, another city, another town, another group of people that he is going to minister to on the other side. And so he says to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Little did they know when they sent the multitude away and gladly took the Lord in their little ship and set sail on that night. And what awaited them in that journey was going to be one of the greatest storms that they had ever encountered. Many of these men, if not all of these men, were acquainted with the Sea of Galilee and the dangers that were presented when storms would arise upon that sea. It was known when storms and winds would blow off of Mount Hermon upon that sea that literally it would become a perilous place to be. You didn't want to be on the Sea of Galilee in a storm. And no doubt they had experienced that at times. No doubt they had felt the winds and they had seen the waves roll, be it in a boat or upon the land. They knew, amen, that to be in a storm on the Sea of Galilee was a perilous venture. And they did not realize on this evening was going to be the greatest storm they would ever encounter. But my friend, we learn from this text that what they're going to learn is how to, amen, trust the Lord through the storms of life. They're simply doing what Jesus has commanded them to do. They've gotten the boat at his command. They have followed his leading. They, amen, have a desire to be with him where he is. And yet, it did not remove the threat of a storm from their life. We look at this text and in many ways, no doubt, thousands upon hundreds of thousands of messages have been preached from this account relating this to the storms of our own life. And we reference bad times and hardships and certain seasons of life as stormy times. Stormy seas. I'm going through a storm. I've come through a storm. I am facing a storm. And we use that language in reference to the event that took place in not only Christ's life, but the disciples' life in the text that we have read. And so we understand that just because you're saved, amen, does not mean that you're not going to go through storms. And just because that, amen, you're doing all you can to walk with Jesus, amen, that does not remove, my friend, the stormy seas and seasons of our Christian journey. Amen. But what we're interested in tonight, I won't re-preach all the introduction, but amen, we do find that though this storm was sudden and this storm was of great size, and the disciples found a security in the midst of the storm. Amen, their security, we said this morning, it was not in their past experiences with storms. And their security was not in their physical might to grab a row and to fight against the currents and the opposing winds that were blowing against them. It was not their security was not in their ability to bail out more water than was being poured into their little vessel on that night. Their security was simply found in that Jesus Christ was aboard that vessel that night. And because Jesus was there and Jesus was with them and they with Him, amen, they were sailing with Jesus upon the stormy seas of life. No harm could befall them. No, amen, no perishing could come their way. Amen, it may have felt that way in the middle of all that they were facing. It may have seemed that way to their natural man that everything was going to drag them down. Amen, but they're going to come out on the other side saying, what manner of man is this? Amen. When we got in this boat, we didn't know what all was coming our way. We didn't know what all we were going to feel on this evening. And we didn't know we was going to experience some things we've never experienced before. Amen. But I imagine when that boat landed, my friend, in the country of the Gadarenes, amen, the plank, my friend, fell down on the, amen, on the harbor side, didn't Brother Mike? Amen. They probably said, I'm glad if I had to go through something like that, that I didn't with Jesus, amen, on board. I'm glad tonight I'm a sailing with Jesus through, amen, the stormy seas of life. He's the one we need in our vessel. Amen. He's the one that we need, amen, to be sailing with. Amen. We don't need some worldling. We don't need, my friend, some worldly philosophy or counsel. Amen. To get us through the stormy seas of life. Amen. It ain't more money that is our need. It ain't more friends that is our need. Amen. It ain't more of this and that than we think is so important in life. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you're sailing with Jesus, amen, no matter how great the storm, no matter how long the storm, amen, no matter how great the winds and the waves roll against you, amen, you're going to make it to the other side. Amen. And so we want to continue this thought, the Lord being our helper, on sailing with Jesus through the stormy seas of life. Amen. We dealt with point number one this morning. Amen, and I had such a good time, I ain't going to re-preach it, but I'm going to say a word or two about it. Amen, we looked in verse number 37. Amen, the Bible said, verse 36, they had sent away the multitude, they took it, even as he was in the ship. They sailing with Jesus, and now the storm has come against them. Amen, they're sailing with Jesus, and now the stormy seas are raging. Amen, but while the stormy seas are raging, and even in verse 37, amen, the perilousness of what they are facing is being described. We dealt with this morning from verse 37, the miracle in the storm. And my friend, the miracle of the text, the one that we emphasize, is Christ stepping up on the bow of the ship and rebuking the wind and the sea and the waves and saying simple three words, peace be still. Amen. And how did my friend the winds and the waves, amen, did cease and a great calm was sent upon that sea that night. Amen. And oh, what a miracle that was. But, amen, in verse 37, we see the miracle before the miracle. Amen. You see verse 37, if you just read it from a human standpoint. Amen. Oh, you feel sorry for the disciples. Amen. You read verse 37 and you go, boy, what a terrible, terrible situation to be in. Amen. But I believe if you'll see it, amen, from a divine side, verse 37, amen, shows there was a miracle all along the way. Amen. The disciples could not see it, for it was hid. Amen, to their fretful eye. Amen, to the eye of the flesh, the eye that saw the wind, and the eye that saw the waves, and the eye that seen the perilousness of the situation. Amen, it could not see the divine in the storm. It could not see my friend that behind all that was going on. Amen, a great miracle was being experienced right there. Amen, before their eyes. And we unfold it in three aspects. And when we read verse number 37, amen, we read that the ship was beaten. Amen, we said there in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. And so the ship was beaten, but the miracle is that it was not shattered. Amen. It was beaten, but it was not shattered. Amen. All them waves beat and beat and beat against it. Amen. That word beat simply means to cease or to do violence. Amen. Those waves intended on shattering that vessel. My friend, the miracle is that though it beat upon that boat, amen, that boat sailed on and was not shattered. Amen, it was not reduced to pieces. Amen, it was not broken apart. Amen, it was not shattered, and that was the miracle. Amen, we said at number two, the ship. Amen, according to verse 37. Amen, the closing line of that verse said, so that it was now full. Amen, we said the ship was full, but the miracle is it was not sinking. Amen, a boat that is full of water, my friend, finds a watery grave. Amen, a boat that is full of water when the waves are beating upon it. Amen, oh, my friend, it won't be long. And that vessel, my friend, will be resting on the floor of the Sea of Galilee. Amen, but you look around and, my friend, though it was full of water. Amen, full, my friend, of the Sea of Galilee. Amen, the miracle was evidently the mighty hand of God. Amen, was under that vessel holding it up. And my friend, your life may seem full of trouble and full of stormy seas and bad circumstances. But I want to tell you tonight, the fact that you've not sunk yet, amen, must mean that your life is resting in the hand of God. Amen. And when you're sailing with King Jesus, may I say, let the storms rage as they may, and they will, and let the winds blow as strong and fierce as they will. Amen. I'm glad I'm being held up by an unseen hand. Amen. It is a miracle I've not sunk, and you've not sunk a long time ago. Amen. I'm telling you, you get Jesus out of the boat. Amen. We'd have sunk, friend. We'd have sunk the last storm. But ain't you glad when you're sailing with Jesus? Amen. There's a miracle in the storms we encounter. Amen. We may be full, but thank God we have not sunk. Amen. We said this ship, by nature, the winds that were blowing, those winds were opposing them and trying to hinder them from their destination. And so we said this morning the ship was hindered or it was opposed. Amen. But the miracle is it was not stopped. Amen. That storm did not stop them from reaching their destination. In fact, it was the storm, I believe, that carried them up, amen, all the way to the other side. Amen. I'm glad tonight. Amen. I'm glad tonight. Well, let me just say it how we did this morning. Amen. That vessel, it may have been tossed. Amen. But it was not turned around. Amen. It was not turned around. Everything that wind whispered as it blew across their bow. Amen. Every wave that my friend rolled over into that boat said, amen, maybe you ought to turn back. Amen. Maybe you ought to go back where you came from. Amen. But I'm telling you, a miracle of miracles. Amen. When that storm came to an end, you know where them disciples were? Amen. I don't believe they had to row 1 mile. Amen. I don't believe my friend. I believe they was right there where Jesus wanted them to be all along. Amen. And I'm glad that the storms that we sail through with, amen, when Jesus is in the boat, Brother A.L., we cannot be stopped. I'm watching a lot of folk turn around and go back the other way because things get tough in their life. My friend, that ain't the way you'll be if Jesus is in the boat. Amen. And so we see the miracle in the storm. I'll digress from there. I want to cover this new ground and I'm going to get you out. Amen. I told my family a little after 7. And I think I heard them grunt there, amen, at the lunch table. Amen. But we're going to do our best. Notice with me the master of the ship. Amen. In this text, I see the master of the ship. Amen. The Bible said, notice with me in verse number 38, where the Bible said, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. The hinder part, note that Christ is said here to be, amen, in this place that is a reference to the stern of the ship. Amen, the hinder part, that doesn't mean they push Christ, amen, into the back and out of the way and in the background. The hinder part is the stern. Now the stern, that is where the captain of the vessel, that's his place. Amen. That's where the boat is steered. That's where it's turned. That's where the calls are sent out. Amen. To turn starboard or to turn port side. Amen. That's my friend where the captain looks and watches it and is diligent to sound the alarm of dangers that are coming. Amen. And Christ has his place in, amen, the hinder part of the ship. Amen. Sitting in the place of the captain. Amen. I thought about this. I thought about it and I meditated on it some this week and the Lord brought it back to me this afternoon. Amen. You realize in verse 36 when they climbed in that boat, did you catch what the Bible said? Amen. The Bible said they took him even as he was in the ship. Amen. That when they're sailing with Jesus, they said, Jesus, you get to be all that you are. Amen. You're Lord, you're Master, you're the leader, you're the captain. Amen. And they let Jesus pilot their ship. Amen. And so can I say today, I'm not only sailing with Jesus, but amen, he is the captain of the vessel. Amen. I'm not the one piloting my own ship tonight. Amen. You know what I've learned, by the way. Amen. I don't mean I ain't tried to do that a time or two. Amen. But you know what I've learned every time I take the stern, that every time I take the wheel, that every time I try to be the captain, you know what I get in? Amen. I get in an ever-loving mess. They said, we'll take him even as he is. And if he's the captain, somebody said, well, John, he knows a lot about sailing the Sea of Galilee. Amen. He sailed through this sea many a times. He knows the current. He knows the danger. He knows the sandbars. Amen. He knows what to do if things get tough. Amen. But can I say, John don't know as much as Jesus does. You say, Jesus ain't no mariner. Jesus ain't no fisherman. Jesus wasn't raised on a boat. No, but he made the Sea of Galilee, and he made the water in the Sea of Galilee, and he made the sandbars, my friend, and placed them where they were. Hey, man, oh, are y'all listening? Hey, man, I'm glad. Hey, man, you say I'm an expert in this and that. Hey, man, the best thing you and I can do is realize how dumb we really are and that Jesus knows everything about everything. Amen. Somebody say he's just a carpenter from Nazareth. Oh, no, friend, he's far more than that. Amen. He's the Lord of all and the Lord of all things. Amen. We would be better off tonight. Amen. To let Jesus, amen, have the wheel of our vessel lift. Amen. And if you're going to make it through the stormy seas of life, amen, you're going to need a good captain to navigate the way. Jesus was that. Amen. 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 Jesus was not the only, Jesus was not only in the boat, but Jesus was the captain of the ship that night. Amen. You say, preacher, he was asleep. Amen. Yes, he was asleep, which, amen, the disciples made the mistake that you and I do, that the Lord not being restless, the Lord not being engaged, that, amen, they were saying, well, Lord, amen, if you really cared, you wouldn't be sleeping over there. You'd be bailing water out. Amen, you'd grab a rope. You'd do something to help this situation. Amen, but him being asleep does not mean that he doesn't care. It just means he ain't worried about what they're worried about. Amen. Do you realize what kind of captain it would take to just sleep through the storm and say, I got it all. I can do it sleeping better than y'all can staying awake. Amen. And I say, and we know that our Lord never slumbers nor sleep. Amen. But it is a testimony here tonight, Sister Betty, that at what we fret over and what we're fearful of, amen, the Lord, it's nothing to him. He doesn't get restless. He doesn't get anxious. He doesn't get concerned. Amen. Oh, I'm glad that that is our captain. Amen. I'm glad that what troubles me is nothing to him. Amen. What makes me stirred, he just sleeps through. Amen. What had them so troubled, Jesus was sleeping through. Not concerned, not worried, not fretful, not pulling his hair out. Dear God, we're all going to die. He's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? He's sleeping, Brother Jack, because he knows him and the rest of them going to make it to the other side. Amen. 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 Do you realize your Savior ain't worried about what you're worried about today? Amen. That thing that you described is the most awful, worst thing any human being could ever have faced. Amen. Jesus just... There's something here I want to point out. Now I'll deal with this. I'm moving on. Do y'all remember the message we preached on sow the seed and go to sleep? The parable that was given about... Amen. A sower, he sowed seed. He sowed the seed. Amen. He couldn't do any more than sow the seed. So he slept. He sowed the seed in the day and he slept through the night. Amen. And when he got up the next day, he didn't know how that the seed had grown. He just knew. Amen. All he could do was sow the seed. Amen. You know what Jesus did all day long in Mark chapter number 4? Amen. He sowed seed upon those disciples' life. He gave them the word. He was giving them the source of faith that they were going to need to make it. And the Lord is practicing what he had preached in that parable. He sowed the seed and went to sleep. And he's allowing the word of God to have an opportunity to grow in their life. And I say tonight, amen, I'm glad Jesus, amen, listen, his sleeping does not mean that he doesn't care. His sleeping does not mean that he is uninterested. Amen, his sleeping means, number one, he ain't worried. Amen, his sleeping means, number two, that, amen, that as the captain, he knows that he has given those men everything they need, amen, to make it through the storm.
Can I tell you, I'm glad, amen, Jesus sees the storm from the other side. Amen, when he said, let us go to the other side, amen, he knew what was coming their way, and he knew that he had prepared them, amen, the messages he had given them for what they were about to encounter. And I say, I'm glad I got a captain that prepares me. That don't mean always pass the test. Somebody help me now. I don't always pass the test, and neither do you either. Say, yeah, I do. Well, let's talk to your spouse. Amen. We'll get the real truth. Amen. We don't always pass the test. That doesn't mean he hasn't been diligent to show the seed of faith into our heart. That doesn't mean he's not took the time to prepare us. Amen. I'm glad tonight, amen, that he cares enough that in the day and before the storm, amen, he sends truth our way. And then the Lord sits back. Amen. He gives us an opportunity to act upon what we've been given.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Notice with me the master of the ship. Amen. In the midst of their storm now. Amen. They're not going to fare very well. Amen. In this storm. And I don't want to beat up on these boys too bad. Amen. I can only imagine how I'd acted that night. Amen. You'd acted that night. You pick any 12 of us out tonight. Amen. And put us in that text. We'd be blaming each other, blaming Jesus, blaming the boat, blame it. Amen. The weatherman, blaming AccuWeather, blaming this and that. Amen. It has sure been a sight for sore eyes. So I don't want to pick on them real bad. Amen. But I do want to show you, amen, that they, amen, they may not have fared too well for a little while. Amen. And even as they come to Christ, it may not all come out just pretty and spiritual sounded. Amen. It came out kind of raw, but I want to say tonight, amen, I see as we look at the master of the ship, I see the prayer, amen, they made to their captain. Amen. The prayer to the captain. Amen. The Bible said, and they awake him and say unto him, Master. Now you better get a hold of that. Amen. They feel like they're going down. Amen. They've tried all they know to try. Amen. John said, hey, Peter, last time I went through a storm, here's what I done. Amen. Grab this pail. Do it this way. And Brother Jack, none of that's a work it. Amen. Somewhere along the way, amen, I don't know who it was, somebody said, amen, I'm exhausted. I've done everything. I can't bail no more water. Amen. What we're doing ain't working. Y'all reckon we might ought to try waking up the Lord? Ain't it amazing? We wait till the wheels are coming off. Ain't that amazing?
Amen.
Hey, well, amen. I guess most of y'all just always go Jesus first time, first thing. Amen. It's amazing in my life, looking back, how many times I've waited till, amen, I felt like I was right there going,
Jesus.
Drowning. Drowning. Amen. And I want to say, amen, that even though these men, maybe it wasn't their first inclination, amen, maybe they had exhausted themselves and wearied themselves in human effort and all of that, at least along the way, somewhere it dawned on them, if we're going to make it, amen, it's not going to be the arm and the flesh that gets us to the other side. Somebody go wake up the master. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can I remind you tonight, they found in prayer. Amen. They found in that short statement. Amen. You see, they didn't have time to pray a 2-hour prayer. Amen. They're going down. They feel like they're going down. They feel like they ain't got another minute to spare. Hey man, the only thing they can pray is, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And can I say that short prayer? Amen, it got the attention of the Master. Amen, when you call Him Master, you'll always get His attention. Amen, when you come in prayer before Him and acknowledge His Lordship in your life, amen, you will not be disappointed. Amen, and a lack of response from your Savior. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I say they found in prayer, amen, not only His attention, but they found that He cared. They found that He cared. Amen. I remind you that one of the men on this boat was a man named Peter. Peter's the one that wrote in his epistle, is it 1 Peter chapter number 5? We said to those weary believers who had been scattered abroad that, amen, had faced storms and hardship. Amen. You remember what he told them in that closing text? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Where'd Peter learn that? He learned that in a storm many years before. Amen. We're in that storm. He doubted, and the wind had him doubting, and the wind had him questioning. Amen. If the Lord even cared. Amen. But he awoke the Master, and he carried his care there and laid it down. Amen. And when he came out on the other side, Brother Jerry, amen, Peter can testify. Amen. You can trust Him with your cares. Amen. You can carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Oh, Peter learned, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Amen. Jesus can help me. It's Jesus alone that I need. Amen. He found out that the Lord really cared when he began to pray. And I say tonight, their prayer to their captain, what a truth there. Many things we can maybe point to, but I see the prayer to the captain. I see the power of the captain. Amen. He not only has the power to steer the ship. Amen. He has the power that he's not concerned about what they're facing. Amen. But notice with me, he stood up to the storm. Amen. What had them rocking and reeling, tossing it. Amen. Up and down, Jesus just simply stood up to. The Bible said, and he arose. He arose. Ain't you glad he arose? Amen. He arose out of a sepulcher. Amen. And so he can arise against any storm. Amen. That comes our way. Amen. When he stood up, the power of our captain. Amen. He had power to rebuke the wind. One of the dominating truths of this entire account of the life of the Lord Jesus is this, that he has control and power over natural occurrences. He created this thing and he controls this thing. So when you and I are sailing with Jesus through the stormy seas of life, understand that he is our captain, holds all power in heaven and in earth. And my friend, there's nothing that is has any more power than he has been given. And that is according to his own name. He can rebuke the devil. He can rebuke the spirits. He can rebuke sickness. He can rebuke, amen, the winds. He can rebuke the sin. Amen. He, my friend, has power. Amen. In the vessel that we're sailing on. The power of the captain. But notice the peace that this captain brings. Amen. The Bible said he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. The peace of the captain, I want to say that by his word he spoke peace. And the great storm, the Bible said, became a great calm. I want to say this peace of the captain, amen, it is not anchored in an emotional goosebump upon your back. Amen, this is not a feeling. This, amen, is a peace that comes by His word. Somebody said, I need some peace. Well, you better get to the word of your captain. Amen. You better open up one of the 66 books that, amen, he has given us tonight. Amen. You better get your ear open and find out what he has to say. Amen. Because the peace that he gives and comes, amen, by what his word is spoken. Amen. I noted this, that the calm is said to be great. According to verse 37, they were in a great storm, a mega storm. Amen. A storm that was big. Amen. If President Trump was here tonight, amen, he'd say it's huge. Amen. It's huge. Amen. Amen. A huge storm. A storm huger than any storm, amen, that mankind has ever known. Amen. But may I say tonight, amen, it may have been a great storm, but amen, when the captain got done, there was a great calm. Now here's how I have studied this. Here's my take on it. Here's how, amen, the Lord put it in my heart. The calm was as great or greater than the storm. Great storm means you gotta have a great calm. Amen. And I want to say tonight, amen, that the peace that Jesus gives, it is not small. Amen. The peace that we have cannot be overwhelmed. Amen. By the winds and the waves and the circumstance. Amen. It's not to be overwhelmed by the feelings of perishing and perilousness. Amen. I'm glad that what my captain gives and the peace that he puts in our heart and the peace that he gives to our life, it is as great. I found in times it's even greater than the storms that I've sailed through. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my captain. Now, I don't know who's captain in your boat. Amen. I made some mad this morning talking about Dr. Phil and Oprah and entertainers captain in your boat. Amen. If you got them for your captain, amen, I promise you they don't know a lick about, amen, that kind of peace in their own life, much less, amen, how to speak it into yours. Amen. But if you're sailing on the stormy seas of life, amen, with King Jesus, I'm glad to tell you tonight, amen, he don't give a little peace. Amen. He said, my peace I give to thee. Not peace that the world has. Amen. Not fickle peace. A peace that's here for now and then the next minute it's gone. But amen, he said, I give a peace and will abide, a peace that passes all understanding. What is that peace? It passes all. That is peace that you can't even explain. That's peace and calm so great that peace overwhelms the storm and the situation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. As a pastor, and I guess even, amen, with others, but even as a Christian myself, I'm sure I'm guilty of it too. Boy, we make a great big deal about the storm. Don't we? Boy, if we're going through something, buddy, we want everybody to know how great the storm is. Why don't we flip that in 2022, 2023 coming on quickly? Why don't we start talking more about the great calm? We'll tell you why we don't, because we're not tapped into it. Y'all listen, I ain't trying to be mean. I may get mean in a minute, but I ain't trying to be right now. Brother Larry, a lot of us know nothing about the calm. That's why we don't talk about the calm. We're so tore up, not realizing either that we've not let Jesus captain the boat, or we put him, my friend, in the bottom part of the boat, and we just left our own devices, left our own way. Amen. But if we would allow Jesus, amen, to captain the boat, he's the only one that can give a great calm that is bigger than the storm we're going through. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. That's great preaching. The master of the ship, Then notice with me the miracle in the storm, but the message of the Savior, verse 40. Well, we're a little after 7. Huh. What about that? Verse 40, Christ confronts the disciples' fear and challenges their faith. The storm has now laid down. The winds have quit blowing. Christ now turns to the 12. Does something that people would be offended about if we'd done in our day. They've come through a storm and they didn't pass the test. They messed up like we all do. Jesus looks at them and says, "What in the world's your problem? Why are you so fearful? I'm on the boat with you. How is it that you have no faith?" He calls out, amen, the errors in their life. He calls out, amen, the problems. He challenges, amen, he confronts their fear. He challenges their faith. Here's what I want you to understand. Really, their fear problem was the result of a faith problem. I'll tell you why we get so tore out of frame when things ain't going well in our life. You let somebody say something about us and buddy, we act like we have been through 7 years of great tribulation.
You're right.
Because somebody said something untrue about us.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Let somebody do us wrong.
Amen.
Buddy, we feel like, amen, we'll make it sound like, amen, that the locust is going to be, amen, unleashed upon the earth in the time of great tribulation, and torment men have all sunk there, amen, their stingers in our soul.
Amen.
We'll bellyache and we'll gripe and we'll drag our tracks out. So fearful and handling everything so wrong. Amen. It's what Jesus is saying. Now you can say what you want. Amen. We got this, oh, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real. And I'm for being real and I understand that. But sometimes when we're being real, that don't mean we're being right. They were being real. Master, carest thou not that we perish. And because they were real, Christ helped them. Then Christ has to come back and say, you may be being real, but you are not right. You got a fear problem because you have a faith problem. Amen. Y'all listening?
Amen.
Faith. Amen. If you'll examine, I don't have time to work all this out. Amen. I may need to just unhook and come back to it, but Brother Dwayne Moore will be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, next Sunday morning, and then we're out there Sunday night, and so, amen, it'll be weeks. I'll die, Brother Moe. I'll die if I just stop right now. I promise I won't make it. Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's what we call the Synoptic Gospels. All three give this same account. All three of them unveil and reveal a different aspect of Christ's confrontation of the problem that is in the life of these disciples as they had been sailing through this storm. Let me say, if you are sailing with Jesus through the stormy seas of life, He is going to call out the things that need calling out in your life. You might as well get ready for it. Amen. I don't mean to be mean. Maybe I do mean to be mean. We're living in a generation, if you call them out about anything, they get so offended and so tore up, they can't even function. Say, how do you know that? Because I'm a Baptist pastor preaching to Baptist people. You preach a message just hard enough and cross the line they've drawn. Amen. They'll pout, they'll pooch their lip, drag their tracks out for 4 or 5 weeks before they get their smile back. But you got to understand, if you're going to sail with Jesus, he gonna deal with some things in your life. Amen. Boy, ain't we having a time. Matthew 8:26, the Bible said, Matthew gave the aspect that Christ said, O ye of little faith. He calls out the littleness of their faith. In other words, I gave you enough truth. I gave you enough word. I gave you enough the source of faith. You ought to be having more faith than you have. Amen. Somewhere they got caught up in the emotion of what Jesus was teaching. Somewhere maybe they're caught up in the busyness of ministry that they miss sight of, I better get something, amen, to hang my life upon. And now Jesus comes to them, he says, why are you so fearful? And Matthew said, and Christ called out the littleness of their faith. That phrase, oh ye of little faith, it's used one time. I think it's used five times in the Lord's earthly ministry. One time is in Luke that is in reference to another time in Matthew. It's used four times in the Gospel of Matthew. Oh ye of little faith, oh ye of little faith. He said to them, a man that he was dealing with, the fact that your heavenly Father, He feeds the sparrows, He grows the lilies, He's taking care of this and that. You're so fearful about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. And He said, oh, ye of little faith.
Amen.
Fearful. Concerned to the point that you become debilitated. Come on now.
Amen.
So tore up and anxious that you cannot function in the kingdom and the cause of Christ. You know what Christ said? You got a faith problem. Oh, ye of little faith. Amen. The word little in describing the measure of their faith means incredulous, lacking confidence in Christ. Amen. Listen, little literally means puny in extent, degree, duration, or value. Amen. Christ said, you know what your problem is? You got a puny faith. Your faith is puny.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, amen, He wants us prepared for the storm. Amen. He wants us prepared. And He understands we get weary. He understands we get tired. He understands the things we feel when we face things bigger than us. Amen. But Jesus wants us to realize that in Him we can tap in. Amen. We got more than a puny faith. Amen. Because we have a powerful captain. Amen. We can have a great faith in a great Savior.
Amen.
He calls out the littleness of our faith. In our text in Mark 4:40, it's interesting. Mark said that Jesus said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Matthew recorded that he dealt with the littleness of their faith. I believe that is when they entered into that storm, their faith they had not taken advantage of the things that Christ had given them to grow their faith. And as a result, amen, having entered into, amen, the storm with little faith, they exhausted what little they had. My friend, that storm sucked every last drop of faith out of them. Amen. That word no literally means empty or negated. Your faith has become negated. What little you had, you've spent it all up. Now you're left with nothing.
Amen.
Jesus said, that's why you got so fearful. You got a lack, you got a problem with a lacking of faith. Here's how Luke put it. Luke put it, Jesus said, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith?
Amen.
He said, I tell you the problem with your faith that has produced a fear problem in your life. And he called out the problem. We'll call it the location of their faith. When Christ said, where's your faith? That doesn't mean he doesn't know. That means he is making them ponder, where exactly is my faith? Where is my faith being placed? Where is my faith being stored? Where is my confidence really at? Is it really in the captain? Is it really in Christ? Or am I trusting my friends? Am I trusting my experience? Am I trusting my own knowledge and my own understanding? Where is your faith? Some have their faith in their bank account. Some have their faith in their family relationships. Some have their faith in their preacher. And some preachers have their faith in their church. Buddy, I'm telling you, when Jesus said, where is your faith? I think it is an indictment. It is a revealing question, as though Christ is saying, where is your faith? Because it is not in me. So I ask us this evening, where is our faith? Could it be the reason we're so tore up out of frame and defeated and discouraged and weary? You say, oh, that's because of the storm. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said, it ain't the storm that's done this, it's your faith that's done this. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever spiritual delinquency we are in tonight, it is not the fault of the storm.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus said it's a problem with your faith. Amen. Amen. You say, I don't like that. Well, it's what Jesus said. You wouldn't have liked being in the boat in that storm, and Jesus said either. Amen. So we see the message of the Savior. Let me close with this and I'm done. Lord, have mercy. Y'all preach a man to death. I see the marvel of the survivors. Amen. They feared exceedingly. Verse 41. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? In verse 40, the word fearful in verse 40, it is a word that conveys the idea of terror, of being affrighted, of being scared, of just being putrefied with what am I going to do? The word that is used here in verse 41, they feared exceedingly, is the word for adoration. It is a word, Brother Mike, that is used to convey the idea of being overwhelmed to the point of worship. Amen. Oh, I'm about to preach again. I'm about another 30 minutes right here. Amen. This is the second message I told you I was going to try to preach tonight. The Bible said they feared exceedingly. They feared exceedingly. They were overwhelmed with worship to a great degree. And so there's a great storm in verse 37 and a great calm in verse 39. But in verse number 41, there is a great adoration. It is as though they're saying, We see now what we didn't see. And verse number 35 and 36 and 37 and 38, when we woke him up and were afraid of dying. Now we see clearly we would have never made it even on a sunny day had it not been for Jesus in the boat. Somebody ought to write that down. They wouldn't even have made it on a sunny day had Christ not been in that vessel. Buddy, I'm telling you, they are marveling at the fact that it is He that has brought them safe and sound. Amen. I wrote it down this way. Y'all write this down now. The storm did not end them. It educated them. The storm did not end them. That's what they said. Brother Jack, in verse 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They thought the storm was going to end them. But when they come to verse 41, Miss Mary, what they find is it was that very storm that educated them in how great Christ really was in their life. You know what the storms I've been through have done? I ain't passed every test. I'll be the first in line. I have bellyached through a many a nights and a many a storms. And, amen, I have been guilty. Brother Mark, can I say the storms I've been through have educated me these 26 years of who Christ really is. Things the storms have taught me about Him that I'd have never learned, and I've never learned in the sunshine. Amen. Things that I've learned when the wind has blown that, amen, on the most peaceful days of my life, I would have never been educated in those truths that, amen, the storm was not brought into my life to end me, but to educate me. And they came out on the other side. Amen. It wasn't an education in storm survival. It was an education in how great Jesus really is. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves or seas obey Him? What an exclamation of marvel and adoration. Amen. On the other side, they were impressed by who Jesus was. Amen. On the other side, amen, He was all that matters. On the other side, they seen Him in clear view, as they ought to say. Amen. On the other side, they look back and they see what He was all along the way. Amen. So whatever you're facing tonight, child of God, understand this. You'll see it different when you get on the other side of the storm than you see right now tonight. You're getting an education that money can't buy and that Biden can't pay off. Somebody help me right there. An education. The marvel of the survivors. What manner of man is this? Now, if you'll let me for 5 more minutes. Now, I'm holding up 10 because y'all know what that means. 5 on each hand. 5 more minutes. Amen. Will you let me just expound upon what manner of man is this? Amen. That they learned about in the storm. Can I run through these verses one more time real quick? Amen. What manner of man is this? They learned He is the commanding one. Verse 35. And verse 36, He's the one that told them and commanded them, get in the boat, let us go to the other side. Amen. What manner of man is this? He's the one that's leading the way. Amen. He's the one commanding the path. He knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. Amen. And you can trust Him tonight. Amen. You can follow Him tonight. That preacher, I don't know what that'll mean. I don't know what that means out fast. I don't know what that means out fast. Amen. All I can say tonight, what manner of man is this? Amen. He is the commanding one. Amen. Follow Him. Amen. Number 2. How we do it? Verse 37 and 38. What manner of man is this? They learned He is the caring one. Everything in that storm whispered to their soul. Amen. If Jesus really cared, He'd be up here helping you. If Jesus really cared, He'd put an end to all of this mess. And you know what the storm's saying to some of y'all tonight? If Jesus really cared, He'd fix my family. If Jesus really cared, He'd save my family member. If Jesus really cared, this wouldn't be going on. Amen. But you know what you're going to learn? Amen. You know what the storm's going to teach you? On the other side, you'll come out sad. Amen. And adoring Him and amazed at Him. Amen. And saying, what manner of man is this? He is the caring one. Do you care, Lord? When you come out on the other side, you'll go, oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. Amen. I'm glad. Thank God. I know that. Amen. What manner of man is this child of God? He is the caring one. Amen. He is the calming one. Verse 39. Amen. When Jesus brought a rebuke against the wind, the Bible said, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Amen. But may I say there's a greater calm than what took on the Sea of Galilee. Amen. There's a great calm in the spirit and the soul and the heart and the mind and the thoughts of those disciples. Amen. That Jesus, when they heard him speak, amen, and say, peace be still. Amen. It wasn't just the sea. Amen. It was the saints that experienced the calming power of Christ. Amen. Was it old Peg McCamey that sang years ago, sometimes he calms the storm, but sometimes he calms me. And sometimes he does both. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm glad this evening. Amen. What manner of man is his? Amen. I marvel tonight. I marvel this one that has survived and been brought through storm after storm after encounter. Amen. Of hardships and long nights. Amen. I marvel tonight to tell you, amen, that he is the calming one. Amen. There have been a lot of nights. Boy, I got to hurry, but there's been a lot of nights when I pillowed my head, I was tore up in my soul. Amen. But somewhere between, amen, me putting my pillow on my head and the sun coming up in the morning, amen, the sweet presence of the Lord, amen, had come to where I was and whispered peace into my heart. Amen. Something my wife couldn't give me, and my children couldn't give me, and my church, amen, couldn't give me, and my money couldn't give me, and all the things that, amen, the world says you gotta have to have peace. Amen. I couldn't find it in any other than Christ. He's the calming one. Amen. He's the commanding one. He is the caring one, the calming one. I don't need to preach this, amen, over again, but in verse 40, he is the correcting one. Amen. He'll straighten us out. Amen. He'll make sure the things that need called out are called out. Amen. He'll make sure that, amen, that we won't just be real, but we'll know what it is to be right. Amen. Oh, what manner of man is this? He is the commendable one. Verse 41, what manner of man is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're commending him. Amen. Oh, listen to this. When the storm was done, they only talked about Jesus. Amen. I know I've been preaching a while. Can you tarry just a minute longer? When the storm was done, amen, the only thing they talked about was Jesus. Amen. Peter and Andrew didn't get over here and say, did you see how big them waves were? Did you see? Amen. Did you see how strong the winds blew? Oh no. Amen. When the storm was done, all they could talk about was Jesus. Why? Because he's the commendable one. They didn't say, boy, did you see how John rode? They didn't say, hey, did you see how fast old Thomas was bailing water? No. When they got done, the only subject matter that came out of their lips was, what manner of man is this? Because they learned he's the commendable one. Then from verse 35 to 41, and I'm done, he is the credible one. Amen. He said they was going over. They did. Amen. See what he said, it come to pass. What manner of man is this? I'm going to tell you what manner of man he is. He's the credible one. Amen. Every promise he's made in that book, sweetheart, you can trust him. Amen. He'll bring every one of them to pass, the good ones, the bad ones, the ones you understand and the ones you don't understand. Why? How can you know that? Because he is the credible one. Amen. There ain't no storm this side of eternity, amen, that will diminish the credibility of your Savior. He said he gonna bring us to the Father's house. You know where we're gonna end? At the Father's house. Say, so you don't believe all that. I believe every word. Every word. I've learned through so many ways of life, and I've learned so much. And then, Brother Larry, I got to kick myself sometimes because sometimes I still doubt him. But he just keeps proving over and over and over again that he's the credible one. He's faithful. Amen. He's the faithful one. He's the one that said, I'm the faithful one. Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one that declares the promises he has made is yea. And amen. That, amen. We can trust him that, amen. Oh, what manner of man is this when you sail with Jesus through the storms of life?
Amen.
As you go through a few storms, you start going, I can trust Jesus.
Amen.
I can trust Jesus. Amen. They sing, is it y'all that sing that song? I can trust Jesus. Amen. He never once has failed to meet my need. Amen. Ain't you glad you know the credible one? Amen. Sailing with Jesus through the stormy seas of life.